ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. I would like to end my little seminar today, which is called The Art of Transformation, with a very important tool, a very important understanding for devotees who sincerely want to change their heart and make it valuable as a place where Krishna can appear. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 8, Lord Krishna gives us a very important, Lord Brahma gives us a very important understanding which will help us to receive the mercy of Krishna. Who would like to have the mercy of Krishna? Some even have two hands in the air. Double mercy, please, for me. I think those who have made a sincere study of what is necessary to transform the heart know, oh, Tatpurusha, Dobrodoshli. Those who have made a sincere study of what is necessary know that the best thing would happen. Best would be if the mercy of the Lord would come. That would be the fastest, the easiest, and the most sure way of transforming. It is even described that love of Krishna is coming to us by a ray of mercy which will do the rest to our heart. Our heart is like a lotus flower, and at the moment our heart is closed for Krishna, like a lotus flower which is only there in the pupalnak, I think we call it. Yes. When it is described, when Krishna sends his mercy, for his Swarup Shakti, which is a mixture of the Chladini and Chit Shakti, it will be like a ray of mercy which will open our hearts just as much as the sunlight opens the lotus flower. Our heart will be completely opened and we will progress from bhava to prema by that interaction of the Lord, by that merciful ray of the Lord. This is something which is there in our scriptures. It is on the very advanced level. But also on our level, we require the mercy of the Lord. Now here in this 10th chapter of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says how to do this. Please hear. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. He has a right. A devotee should constantly wait for Krishna's mercy, and at the same time, he should develop a certain philosophical understanding to the miseries in life which are bound to come in his life. He should understand that the miseries which are coming in my life are not due to others' faults. The miseries or experiences, I want to say a more general word, the experiences which are coming in my life are there because I have personally caused them. They have, in other words, their place in my life. They are necessary. They are the lessons which I have to learn from my activities. A person who, in other words, goes with this type of understanding through his life and at the same time does not say, oh my Lord, you are bad, you are letting me suffer, but who offers respectful obeisances from his heart and who engages in devotional service, he will become the candidate to become liberated from material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. Today I want to look with all of you on this verse and on the very deep instructions which are in this verse. Many persons who have taken the process of spiritual life have left it because they became disappointed at one stage of her life, of their lives, with people, with an institution. Also, many devotees have unfortunately given up the process of Krishna consciousness. And when you ask them why, they say, oh, I was hurt in the past by so-and-so. The leader was not good. The movement, the this, the that. My wife, my husband, this person, that person, my guru who didn't understand me, Krishna who didn't understand me. Now it is, in India you say, when you point with your finger in one direction, three fingers are pointing back at you. The moment you find fault in someone or a situation, and you point at it, this is very bad, it points back at you. And how this is so, I want to now explain to you. Please listen to this in a careful way. See if you can understand and apply these teachings to you, because it is a difficult one. But if you would be able to understand that what happens to you has been caused by you, and you, and you alone, and not by others, then you make one step further by getting the mercy of the Lord. It's a very difficult point, and we need to now concentrate very deeply on this lecture. I want to tell you why I've chosen the subject matter. The reason why I've chosen the subject matter as the last point in this little presentation is because you will all leave the summer camp. Some of you leave today, some of you leave tomorrow, and others leave in 2 or 3 days when the camp officially ends. And you will all go into your respective situations. And for each one of you, Bhakti Granta, the incarnation of enthusiasm, our drum player from Slovenia, our expert violin player, every one of you will go into certain situations in life which you do not expect. Situations which will surprise you, overwhelm you. Very often, these situations, especially in the problematic Kali Yuga, are not 100% enthusing. Very often we feel we are misunderstood. Very often we feel that others do us harm. But this is only correct on a very superficial plane. This is only correct when you look from the self-centered platform, where you think you are the center of the universe and everything which happens on the universal level, this is not true. On the universal level, every little thing which happens is not by chance, but has a cause behind it. And you and your actions are always connected with the cause of the things which happen in your life. In Mahabharata, there is a very moving teaching about this. It is about an old woman who had only one son. The son happened to go into the forest where he was killed by a snake. It so happened that Arjunaka, the hunter, was there and he saw how the snake disappeared in the hole after he had killed that son of the old woman. And Arjunaka immediately decided to take revenge. He went with some fire in the hole. He smoked out the snake who was forced to come out. Then Arjunaka threw a net over it, captured it, and brought it back to the old woman. He came at the same time when some men from the village were carrying the dead son of the woman before the old woman. The woman was hysterical. Oh, I see. She was really, this was the only pleasure and meaning in her life. And now he was dead. Arjunaka said, "Grieve not. I have brought the cruel death of your son. I have captured the snake who has killed your son. Old woman, here's my knife, and here's the snake. Torture her to death. And when you see the blood of the snake on the floor, you will be happy." Now the old woman had listened to this lecture before. No, it's not possible. The old woman knew about what I'm discussing today. And she said, "I am not sure that the snake is really the cause of the death of my sin." At this moment, the snake began to speak. "Yes, I am absolutely not the cause of the death of your son." Arjunaka said, "Psht." Then he noticed a speaking snake. Very interesting. The snake said, "I'm not the killer of your son." Arjunaka said, I saw it. Don't say these foolish words. You just don't want to be killed." The old woman said, "I'm not sure." maybe it's death which is the cause of the death of my son. Yes, yes, said the snake, I think it's death. Let us call death. So they called Mrityu, Mrityu, some mantra, and all of a sudden, death in his personified form manifested before them. The old woman said, oh, we have a question here. My son has just died. Did you do it? Death said, old woman, I also am not the cause of the death of your son. Time is the cause. If it would not have been his time to die, I would not have been able to do anything. I was called by time. Many times I saw people who were jumping from cliffs, but who survived because it was not yet their time. Many times I saw people with horrible wounds after a terrible fight, but they have not died because it was not their time. Time is moving everything. Kala. Arjunaka was getting interested. Oh, this is far out. So let us call time, Arjunaka said, and asked her. So the mantra was chanted, and time came. I'm very sorry, said the old woman. I have so much pain in my heart. Can you tell me, are you the cause of the death of my son? Kala said, not completely. His own actions are the cause. Karma. His karma. It was his karma to die. At this moment, the old woman began to smile. Yes, this is correct. My son was a Nidkov, a rascal. He was like a snake, causing unnecessary pain to others. Therefore, now I see, he has gotten the reaction to his death. Mahabharata. He has gotten the reaction to his activities. I'm very sorry. This teaching that our own karma, what we do, causes certain reactions, is necessary to become peaceful in our lives, to become tolerant. When you understand that you are now suffering, that your life is not 100% the way you wish it because of your activity, it is very good, because then you can say, let me finally become responsible in my life. Let me finally do something. Karma is not a fatalistic understanding. You can understand that you have done something and you get something, but now you can do something to change the situation. Karma is not meant to punish, but to enlighten us. Karma is not meant to punish, but to enlighten us. Everything which you do, which you experience, when you take it in the right way, can enlighten you. But so very often, when we see things happening in our lives, which are not exactly what we expected, which are not exactly to our sense gratification, we begin to quarrel, and we begin to find fault, and we never look at ourselves. When you go to the private place and you sit you create a biological heap. Correct? Which smells so bad. Can you at that moment curse the biological heap? Ugh, you glupost nonsense heap. Why do you create this unpleasant fragrance in the private room? You cannot point at the biological product of your own eating. You have caused the heap. You have eaten certain substances, and now it's through, and now you have to find fault, not with the heap, with yourself, if you want to find fault at all. I'm sorry, this is as polite as I could express this example. It's a good example, isn't it? Very often I have told you the story of a person who was in Krishna consciousness once. He may still be in some ways, we hope, who said how he came to Krishna consciousness. He was sitting one day on the bench of a park in Berlin, in the sunshine, and he was trying to meditate. All of a sudden, he felt a terrible pain on the nose, and when he opened his eyes, he saw that, you know, this penna, how do you say, a bump. You know, these people who drink and live on the street. Stieglitzu? Yes, sounds correct. He saw that it was a Kieglitzer. Whatever it is, I never learned this language. I give up. I'm frustrated. I thought you said Kieglitzer. Now it's not Kieglitzer.
Kaže, i sad ispada da nije tako.
What is it?
Skitnica.
Skitnica. Hare Krishna. Haribo. Oh, I have to be very careful now. Not careful. See, for any lecturer giver, when his beloved God brother comes, he feels elated and at the same time challenged to give his very best. So, Hare Krishna.
I want the mercy.
Haribo. We are discussing here a very important subject, Maharaj, that a devotee who wishes to to get the Lord's mercy should learn to understand that whatever he experiences in his life is not really brought into his life due to the ill will or goodwill of others, but because he has caused it. And when he adopts this vision, philosophical vision, he will be able to ask the question, what can I learn from this situation? Because I have caused it and it came out like this, but I would like to have it in another way. And I want to give now an illustration to this point after having done a little philosophical build-up to this. So this assistant of mine was sitting on the bench. Before he came to Krishna consciousness, he was not dressed as a devotee, and he tried to meditate in the spring sunshine. He was very peaceful when all of a sudden he felt a painful blow upon his nose. Blood gushed out of the nose, and when he opened his eyes, totally shocked, he saw a bum who had just hit him. The bum was standing ready for the fight, ready for the reaction. He expected my assistant to jump up and get into a grueling fight. But somehow, this assistant understood, I have something to do with this pain which I have. In a moment, of a very clear understanding. He understood it's a reaction of some activity which I have done in the past. And he felt such gratefulness in his heart for being able to understand this very difficult point. It may be understandable from the karma, from if you look into karma, but emotionally it is so difficult to understand. But he was so grateful that he understood, I have caused this pain myself. He felt almost enlivened in his life, and the man was waiting, you know, come. He said, no need. I forgive you. It's all right. What said the man? The bum? And then the whole situation changed. The man who acted as an aggressor started to helplessly cry like a little child and saying, I do not know why I hit you. I saw you on the park bench. And I felt an inexplainable drive in me to come there and to just hit you on the nose. Please forgive me. Then he said, wait a minute. And he ran to one part of the park where he had stored his few possessions, which were in a few plastic bags. And he came out with one half-finished bottle of mineral water and said, I want to give you this. Please forgive me. And the bum gave him a half-finished bottle of mineral water. Yes. And the whole situation changed. For a devotee of Krishna, he should meditate in a different way, however. He should understand that what happens has happened due to my own doing, my karmic reaction. That's why I came into the situation. But behind the karma which has come is Krishna. Everything which happens in this universe, for a devotee, it is clear. It has happened under the sanction of the Lord, who works through the laws of this nature. Now, if you learn that everything in this sense is perfect, in the sense that it does not happen by blind chance, but by intelligent arrangement, which is meant to ultimately enlighten you. If you understand everything is perfect, the imperfection is only in me, because I do not understand Krishna. I do not understand the laws through which the Lord chooses to work. And the laws which the Lord sometimes changes, very often changes. When you understand the imperfection is with you and not with the outside world, when you understand if you want to point a finger, you should point it at you to find out what could be the cause. At that moment, the whole situation in which you are will change totally. It is as if a veil will be lifted from your vision, and you become enlightened and uplifted by the situation. Because this is a point which is not only understood on the intellectual level, life has a lot to do with emotions, as you know by now. In other words, you may understand something, but you may nevertheless feel as a complete different thing. Because it is so highly personal, I want to give you a little example of from my life. I want to be personal. Amongst my many weaknesses which have come with me in this life is an oversensitivity to critique by others and a fear to be hurt by others. I think many of us Hare Krishnas have this psychological pattern with them. We are, I think, in this very much in the same boat. You know, we are very, very sensitive people. So once it happened that some person who was not acting as my friend was criticizing me with a very harsh critique. He made even politics against me in ways which were not very kind. And many came to me and said, this person is really trying to stab you from behind in the back. Normally, I would have thought of reacting and revenging. But I wanted to experiment with this philosophical point, and I did not say anything, I did not do anything to correct the image which the person was trying to paint of me. And I was suffering emotionally very much. But I was not reacting. I was thinking, why have I come into this particular situation? Why has this person not find fault with other people, but with me? There must be a reason behind it. And I was thinking and I was praying. And all of a sudden, the whole scene changed. The person, I understood, yes, there are wrong motives in me. Yes, there is a false ego in me. Yes, I have to correct this. And I was so grateful. And the moment I understood this, this person came to me and embraced me with tears in his eyes and said, I have said so many wrong things about you. I have slandered your name, and I know it was not correct. Please forgive me. And I said, no. I mean, yes, but no. He didn't understand what. Yes, I forgive you, but no, you have not said wrong things about me. I have caused this, and I have learned. I will never ever forget this experience. It was one of the experiences in life which really changed my whole understanding in life. Later, another thing came. A disease came. It was typhus in German. And the doctor said it came from Mayapur. I had drunken water. And I remember, because the German doctors never treat typhus in English, they didn't know how to treat this disease. And they didn't know how to diagnose the disease. The headache was more severe and more severe, and they said, you're dying before our eyes. We don't know what is wrong with you. And I said, at that time I couldn't sleep any longer from the headache when the typhus is not attacked with medicine. Headache. I was thinking, Krishna, something which I must change in my life. It's not the disease which is the cause. It is something I must change. I have caused this. You want to teach me. You are behind this. And I remember the day the revelation came, it's so private, I would be afraid to say it, and you would be bored also. The day it came, I still remember the door of the sick room flung open. A nurse was in there with the brightest smile of the universe, and she said, Hare Krishna, we can cure you now. We know what it is. It's typhus. Take this mammoth pill. And and I took the pill, and next day already this heart heartache, where you get a headache which makes you, almost kills you, was down 50%, and then it took 2 weeks to cure it, and so on. It is mystical. It is magical. It works. Whatever happens to you, you have caused it. And if you understand why your behavior, what caused this, then the lesson is no longer necessary. It's gone. Hare Krishna. You all look at me, and I know the typical Hare Krishna question, which is now in all of your heads. I will address it in a moment. The question is obviously, but you mean to say that there are no rascals around in this world who do wrong? You mean to say you do everything? Everything is caused by you? 1 minute more patient. Spiritual life means to keep your vision not on the material, but into the spiritual plane. There's a verse which the pujaris chant, Om Tat Vishnu Paramang Padam Sada Pashyanti Surayaha Diviva Shakshur Atatam. It's from Rig Veda, and it says, the vision of the rishis, the saints, is put towards that spiritual, Pashyanti, spiritual place, where the Lord Vishnu, Om Tat Vishnu, Paramang Padam, is the supreme reality. In the Gita, this Rig Veda teaching, to look towards the Supreme Lord as the cause of everything in life, is further explained in the verse, Mayadya Kshena Prakriti, the Maya, this divine energy of mine, Krishna says, is working under my control. Krishna is working everything. If you have said, I have come to Pula, I have driven to Pula, it is not correct. By Krishna's mercy you have come here. If you say, I have taken an airplane from Sweden and landed in Zagreb, it is not correct. By Krishna's arrangement, air and dynamics, aerodynamics, you have come here. If you say, I have swum in the Adria, what is the I? You are working with Krishna's arrangements all the time. The material energy is working under Krishna's control. You are just swimming in the ocean of material energy, being moved around by the energy itself, which is under the control of the Lord. Never say in spiritual language, I did. Always say, I was an instrument in the hands of Krishna. In one very heart-moving lecture, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who is a very elevated devotee in our movement, it was a heart-moving lecture, he said something very important. Tribhuvanath Prabhu is in a very critical health situation, and some think the cure which he will tries to take now in Brazil will not help the cancer to leave his body. Some hope, but the majority of the devotees who know him think he might fly from Brazil to Vrindavan to give up his body. So in a last lecture where he said, I don't know if I will ever see you again, Tribhuvanath Prabhu summarized what he thought is his most important lesson in the life in Krishna consciousness. And he said this, don't think you are the operator. Think you are the operated. Don't think you are the doer. Think you are the instrument. Don't think you are the controller. Understand that you are moved by the Lord. This is spiritual understanding. A person who understands that everything happens due to the will of the Lord is peaceful. He gets out of that little tiny ego box which separates him from the universal flow of Lord Krishna's arrangement. And he enters the flow of spiritual life, the flow of a river in which all the surrendered souls are moving. A flow where you joyfully accept the control of the Lord and you pray to be guided and used by him. I want to come to the end. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives us very, very useful instructions. If you wish to read this text, it's very important. It's in the sixth chapter, text 5. It is with, you can read with purport and with the surrounding texts. Lord Krishna says that in while we are in this world, we need to practice a little mind control. Because what we have just now looked at is something which is maybe possible to listen during a lecture. Maybe. But it is very difficult to apply in life. You will see. You will go out of the summer camp, get into situations, and you will say, why did you say this? Why did you do this? Why were you so unsensitive? You will sit in the corner, why is ISKCON so? Why is the GBC so? Why are the gurus so? Ultimately, if you don't learn this point, you will even asked, why is Krishna so? Why did he do? Mind control. Bring the mind back. Bring it back to a philosophical, spiritual outlook in life. Krishna talks about this. Uraret atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva shatmano bandur atmaiva ripo atmanam. He says, Onkaja, one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. The uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy. If you do not learn this in this lifetime, it will be difficult to practice spiritual life because you will be reacting only to external causes and remain on the superficial platform. And ultimately, you might find fault in Krishna. In the Mahabharata, we find an example of a great saint who lived in the desert, who find fault with Krishna. Similar to Gandhari. In the theater play, you remember? Krishna! Tui nidkove! Something like this. I'm looking at the Gandhari actress. The saint was Uttanka, and he heard about the battle of Kurukshetra. And he heard how Krishna had very cleverly moved the incidents, had advised Arjuna to even kill Karna at a time when Karna was in a disadvantaged position. He heard so many things. Shishigo nitai ki jai. We will finish this class, the organizers have told. Uttanka said, Krishna, you are the cause of all this. And now I will curse you. I will curse you that you have caused the death of all these soldiers. You are the cause of all these women crying helplessly because you are the controller of everything. Krishna said, please don't curse me, because you cannot curse me. I'm beyond the three modes of the material nature. I am not moved by what happens on this world. But if you curse me, the curse will act against you, and you will lose all your brahminical tejas. Yes, also the war of Kurukshetra is under my arrangement. But I have arranged this for the betterment of human society, for the installation of Dharma. It was necessary. Uttanka said, he was an impersonalist, Krishna, you say this, but this means that you must be God. The ultimate Param Brahman. Please prove it. At this time, Krishna showed a partial manifestation of the universal form. And something which even the saint Uttanka could understand. Uttanka was convinced and became a personalist. Yes. He had just thought Krishna is a clever arranger, maybe a man with extraordinary abilities. So, my dear devotees, please try to learn this simple act. Simple to understand, but simple, difficult to execute. Whenever something happens in you, in your life, ask this question, my dear Lord, you must be behind it. What is it that I must learn at this stage of my life? When you sincerely ask this question, the Lord who is present in the super soul, he will talk to you. He will give you an intuitive understanding. It's a wonderful tool. This tool is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his work on how to develop bhakti. It is coming in Vaidhi Bhakti, that is the performance of bhakti yoga on the conditional platform when we are still, you know, not really ignited with the ray of pure love of Godhead. It comes in sadhan, practice to become to come to the sat platform. Sadhana means practice to come to the sat, the eternal spiritual platform. Prabhupada very nicely translates it as expecting the Lord's mercy. I want to read to you again the text. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. Prabhupada said, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. He says, when impediments arise, a devotee should simply think of Krishna and expect His mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. Wonderful! If you want to read this, it is in the Nectar of Devotion English version on page 91. I must tell you, this I read once a month as my regulative principle. This whole paragraph is so good, so inspiring. It lifts you up. It makes you mature in your understanding to deal with life. And it empowers you. Because the moment you change the vision and don't say, this is false, the circumstances are wrong, the people are wrong, the weather is wrong, the politicians are wrong, the ISKCON leadership is wrong, the bloody blah is wrong, the bloody blah 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 is wrong. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little provincial here in my expressions. Krishna is wrong. He's the wrong God. Then, if you can stop this and say, my dear Lord, what do I have to learn? Anything can change. In our movement, the devotees now ask the question, my dear Lord, what do we have to learn from this, the situations in ISKCON which are not so encouraging? And they get individual answers which are tremendous. If you're willing to learn, the answers will come. Out of compassion, I, dwelling in the heart, says Krishna, will destroy with the blazing torch of knowledge the darkness caused by ignorance. And Krishna is doing. With this lecture, now comes the disclaimer, I do not want to condone the things which are done wrong. Saying that we are the cause doesn't mean that others don't do anything wrong. Saying that we are the cause doesn't mean that we have not the duty to correct others when they do wrong. It's our sacred duty talk against injustices and try to correct them. But this we have to see on what level it is. I have talked to you today on the spiritual level of the eternal soul. There is obviously the other level of the conditioned soul in this world who has to act correctly, who has to adjust situations as best as possible. In this world, we always have to keep our eyes on these two areas, a spiritual area of, let me say, the transcendental area, and also how we live in this world and how we do things in this world. And with this lecture, I only wanted to address one point which I feel is very important for a person who wishes to go into the art of transformation. And that point is, Krishna's leaving us. You have to go to Zagreb, I know, Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. With this point, I have also come to the end. With this point, I only want to address that we can, in this lifetime, adopt this transcendental vision and transform our heart. I want to thank you very, very much. It is not possible to take questions at this time. But before before ending this, I want to give you a little point to think about, a little service. This summer camp is so wonderful. It transforms hearts. But I think we should work the next year in such a way that we get double the double, I don't know how many more, but many more devotees. This year the participation is 300. It is not 600 like we expected, or 500 like we expected. It has gone down because Krishna wants to teach us that we should organize ourselves, structure ourselves, so that our preaching mission is more successful in reaching out to the conditioned souls. I think all of us must have felt in certain moments during maybe a class of the Maharajas who have talked, some type of enlightenment. This is so God, this Krishna consciousness is so true. Or you might have felt when you discussed with a devotee whom you have not met, wow, this talk with the devotee was really important in my life. Or you might have seen when you were looking at the deities during the kirtan, wow, Krishna is really there. There might have been many situations where you felt enlivened in your life. But we should now make it a point to share this with others. We can learn, thank you, something from the situation that less participation is here. And I think it is high time to come out of the past and enter into the new phase of ISKCON, the Drugi Fasa, the second phase of Krishna. Unity in diversity, where we keep our individual needs, at the same time think intensely about the mission of Krishna consciousness, which we do in a unified way. I have talked with so many of you during the summer camp and seen that many of you are ready to take responsibility into their hands and share this Krishna consciousness. And I wish you a wonderful year where you talk also about the beauty still ahead of us to build a wonderful temple for our Gornitai deities in Zagreb, to strengthen the different yatras wherever they are, and so on. Please become employed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread this wonderful movement, and in this way benefit others and yourself as well. It's a good time to make this sankalpa. It's a good time to pray, and so on. Because for me personally, the summer camp was the high point. It was so spiritual. Krishna was so present. Krishna wants to manifest himself more and more. It is very clear. But he waits now that each one of you takes responsibility in his hand. Don't wait for others. Don't blame others if it doesn't happen. Look into your heart and whatever needs to be changed, change it to do something wonderful. I would be so happy. Imagine this tent. We could make a third tent on it. And then the kirtans. Oh, imagine the kirtans. We have just started to dance. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Sisi Radha Kunya Bihari ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Swami Maharaj ki jai.